Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reitz.
And this week on the podcast, we are talking about Dark Knight Rises, the third in the Nolan trilogy, the final one.
Yeah, a lot of villains in this.
And this was a write-in request. Like, this was up for our audience choice a couple months ago. Yeah. And I think Monsters, Inc. won, but like people were like, you need to do Dark Knight Rises. So here we are. We're doing it now. What's your history with this movie?
Well, I definitely saw it in theaters I'm a big Batman fan. I used to be huge on Batman. It was my favorite of all the superheroes. He was my favorite for sure. Now that we've started doing this podcast, he has
dropped considerably.
Yes. Once you start dissecting it, it's hard not to. Although I will say Batman has my favorite villains. So I still like to watch, and how could you not? But I saw it in theaters. I obviously, like, I liked it. I had no issue with it, but I would say, like, it's hard to follow The Dark Knight. How do you even follow that movie? It's too good of a movie.
It is.
It's just too good of a movie. So I think no matter what this movie was, people were going to leave a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There was too high of an expectation.
It's also very hard to finish a trilogy, like, in a satisfying way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, like, watching it the first time, I was like, this is fine. This is good. Yeah. And, like, rewatching it this time, I was like, I've got some notes. Like, I've got some places. I was like, the soundtrack fucking kicks. When Batman shows up for the first time in this movie on the Batcycle or whatever, and that Hans Zimmerman score kicks in, I was like, I got goosebumps. I was like, legit, love this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's definitely some amazing scenes in this movie, for sure.
I just think, like, it just didn't quite get there for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on rewatch. Yeah, yeah. Same. Saw it in theaters, liked it at the time.
Yeah.
Weird to revisit. Yeah, well, I guess for those of you who haven't seen Dark Knight Rises, basically what it is, it picks up right at where The Dark Knight left off. Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. And Harvey Dent has died. It's Harvey Dent Day, and they're talking about...
Sorry.
Harvey Dent. They made a holiday. Yeah, they made a holiday for him. basically they're talking about, Gordon's doing this whole speech about how, you know, Harvey's death basically inspired them to clean up the streets and, like, throw all these people in jail. And no one's seen Batman in 8 years, and Bruce Wayne's become this, like, recluse up in Wayne Manor. And then we go to a waitress who we then learn is Selina Kyle, a.k.a. Catwoman, breaks in to Wayne Manor during this party and has a confrontation with Bruce Wayne, and he discovers that she was stealing his fingerprints. He's kind of like his, you know, bat sense is like tingling or whatever. and he's like, sums up with this lady.
Oh my God. I would love for him just to like look at the camera and say that.
My bat
senses
are tingling.
Can you imagine? It never happens in the rest of the trilogy. Just one time. My bat senses are tingling. It's just, they never address it.
I guess the more standard name for that is his curiosity. Because she also steals his mother's pearls. And so he's like, who is this woman? And he kind of goes and, like, figures it out. Long story short, it basically becomes that she also kidnaps a senator from the party to get away. And she's trying to sell something to some shady people, sell the fingerprints. They double cross her. There's like a big gunfight. She gets away. And the whole time we're introduced, sorry, at the very beginning of the movie, we're introduced to Bane, who wears this mask, and he's like...
It's a ridiculous accent.
Ridiculous accent, which I think works on... I think it's a bold choice, and I think it's paid off the longer we go from it. I think...
I see what you're saying. Like, almost like a Knives Out sort of situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
it's like,
I can't do a whole movie of this. And then halfway through, you're like, this is kind of jiving.
This works. This is Bane's voice now. He's up to something. He's like clearly like involved with like some freedom fighters and all the rest in Africa. They abduct this nuclear scientist in this like whole plane heist thing. The movie kind of goes on and we figure out like, oh, there's like some orphans friends that are like leaving the orphanage and going to go live in the sewers because there's jobs down there. Lots of people are in prison. And Bane shows up and is basically trying to... before that happens, there's when they kidnap the senator, they're trying to get him back, and they hop back down into the sewer. Mm-hmm. Gordon goes after them. There's an explosion, and he gets taken to Bane, who's living in the sewers of Gotham City. And
he was born in darkness.
He's born in darkness. and he escapes, but like Bane's in the sewer now. We know it. And Bane then tries to rip off the stock exchange. He's doing some weird techno thing. There's a chase. Batman shows up for the first time in like 8 years, and everyone's like, holy shit. This is crazy. Let's try and catch Batman because they think he killed Harvey. Batman shows up. It's super cool. They try and kill Catwoman. Batman helps Catwoman escape. And then it turns into this whole thing where Bruce Wayne has a nuclear reactor at Wayne Enterprises.
Because why not?
Because why not? Because he's trying to solve the energy crisis. Yeah. Miranda, is it? Yes, Miranda, aka Talia al Ghul, spoiler alert, she's bad, is like the main investor in it. Turns out Bane's stock market heist was to install a computer virus that sells all of Bruce Wayne's stock. He loses control of the company. Miranda takes over as head of the energy project, so like the reactor is safe from being turned into a bomb. But it's not really. And then Bane ends up luring all the police officers in Gotham City into the sewer, which he then explodes along with Gotham Stadium.
That's a sick scene, though. When that stadium explodes, oh, every time I'm like, oh, no,
that's a good scene.
Oh, when they're running and it's just like the grounds.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So then he's like, this nuclear bomb is going to go off if anyone tries to leave the city or if anyone tries to come into the city. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, take it back, Gotham City, from the people. One person in this town has... a trigger that will blow it up if anybody violates these rules. So, and then he like basically he steals all of Batman's toys, so lots of Batmobiles and tanks and shit like that.
He's going to be easy to defend.
Easy to defend. and then long story short, the bomb is going to go off. They chase it down. Batman has to get in the Batwing. The autopilot is broken, and I'm going to fucking talk about that. And Batman flies it out over the bay and it explodes out there, saving the city. But Batman is dead. And then at the very end, we see Alfred going to this cafe in Europe somewhere where he says, you know, that was his fantasy, that he would always see Bruce Wayne there. And he sees him there with Selina Kyle living a happy life. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Drake, or Blake, was it? Yeah, Blake Drake is another Robin. Anyway, it turns out his first name is Robin.
Ooh,
and he gets a GPS thing that leads him to the Batcave, and like he's gonna be the new guy. Did I miss anything? It's a strangely convoluted movie.
If you missed anything, I don't care. How's that?
Yeah,
I don't think you missed anything important there. Bane's running around. He's got a silly accent. I'm here for Catwoman, as per usual.
Yeah.
Catwoman is always defensible. I'm sorry.
100%.
She just is. Okay. I have no problem with people stealing from the ultra rich. I just don't. I don't have a problem with it. There's never a time where I will have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I understand properties, whatever. Like, No.
Well, and that leads me into an interesting part of this movie, which is I don't think I'm actually willing to defend Bane, the villain, as he's presented in this movie.
Well, because he just wants to explode.
But I'm willing to defend Bane as to like who I think he should have been in this movie.
Okay.
And like some very missed opportunities, number one of which is Catwoman. I think they really misspent Catwoman in this movie.
Okay, talk to me, Craig.
Okay,
so talk to me about this.
Okay, so
because Catwoman's kind of my favorite. I love the Catwoman.
She's great.
Yeah, okay.
But like what she represents in this movie, they didn't capitalize on. So going back, over the whole trilogy. This is kind of my thesis for this, right? Is you've got the Dark Knight trilogy. So Batman Begins, the theme, that's your status quo, right? There is organized crime corrupting Gotham City, no justice for anybody, cops won't do anything, and it inspires Batman to be created. The city creates Batman. Batman Begins, okay? Dark Knight is Gotham's response to Batman appearing. It is the mobsters start getting taken out, and as they say at the end of Batman Begins, what about escalation? We start carrying semi-automatics, they start carrying automatics, mm-hmm. They start wearing body armor, you start wearing a mask and jumping off buildings, and they introduce the Joker. So the second movie is about like just the chaos that ensues from this power vacuum, mm-hmm. and just how Batman has inspired this new level of crazy in the city. And also why I think it's so good, because absolutely nobody's in control and the good get brought in the form of Harvey Dent get brought low, all the rest. At the end of that, Batman takes the fall to inspire the city to rise up and take it back themselves. Beginning of this movie, and there are elements of it, but they just don't connect them well.
Okay.
Which is that what this movie should have been about is the pendulum swinging too far to the other side, mm-hmm. where we have inspired the police and the government to like lock everybody up and chase everybody down. And it's all nice and wonderful and peaceful, but it's essentially become a war on the poor. That there are systemic issues that aren't being taken care of in the city, mm-hmm. and Catwoman represents that. Catwoman represents the woman who is down on her luck, poor, is doing this to get by, but because it's closing in on her, she has no way to get out. And she needs to be the person that Bruce Wayne and Batman see to go, this went too far. So end of Dark Knight happens, mm-hmm. and Batman's like, I give up. Like, we've done what we need to do. We inspired justice. This movie, Batman's arc, should be about no, fighting crime isn't justice. Justice is justice. If we're locking everyone out without parole, if we're doing this, we're doing that. Justice is not being served. Batman has to exist forever now as this balancing force in this city because either side is willing to take it too far. Does that make sense?
It does make sense, but I feel like I agree with you that she, if you're like, okay, like Batman didn't learn the lesson he needed to learn or have that kind of arc that he needed to have, but I felt like Catwoman did represent what she's supposed to represent. Like, if you listen to a lot of her dialogue and
for sure
how she's, I'm like, that is exactly what Catwoman's supposed to be.
I know. And it's just, it doesn't quite get pulled together in a way that's because like in this movie, he comes back and trusts her right away after he betrays her. Like, basically, mm-hmm. I forgot to mention, Catwoman betrays Batman to Bane. Bane breaks his back and throws him in. I forgot the whole prison thing in my recap. Jesus.
Listen, okay, and you know what? But I'm going to defend that right quick.
Because it doesn't matter. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. And also, that is the part of the movie I dislike.
It drags.
It's not to me that it, because like I get what it represents and I understand the whole thing and like the whole's kind of good. Like the concept of it is actually quite cool.
Yeah.
Okay. This idea of like the light comes in and that's your hope and you have to make this leap and all that kind of stuff. But like he broke your back.
Yeah.
It's like, and I understand that there's a bit of a leap in time here, but it's like that we cut to him like doing push-ups and shit. Your back was broken in a hole. Like. That was the one mental leap that I had a really hard time. And I know he's like, whatever, but if Batman fundamentally had something where it's like, okay, he's not just a human being.
Yeah.
There's a little something extra here. Okay. It's not just the gadgets. It's just his strength of will or whatever the hell you want to call that. Okay. But it's just like, he doesn't have anything that would make me believe that you're fine.
Yes, like 100%. He had no cartilage in his knee at the beginning.
Yes, you were like literally like putting equipment, like drilling it into your leg several scenes ago. And now you're in a hole just like fucking cranking them out. You know what I mean? 99, 100. Yeah. Like what?
It also does something to the pacing of the movie where it's like Bane's plot is happening.
Yeah.
He's blowing up Gotham City imminently. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, like the action and like this breakneck pace of we need to catch Bane or it's going to happen just stops. Bane puts his plot on hold, flies Bruce Wayne out to some prison in like God knows where, drops him in a hole and is like, this is so you learn. It like it stops the action of the movie for so long. Like, why does Bane leave? Like, if Bruce Wayne had gone somewhere to confront Bane, they'd fought and he ends up getting thrown in that prison and then he goes to Gotham, that would make more sense. The fact that Bane is in Gotham, defeats him, flies Bruce Wayne out of Gotham, drops him in a hole, flies back to Gotham, then does his plan is like so messed up. It really breaks the flow as far as the movie going goes.
Yeah. Yes, it does break the pacing. But I respect a villain willing to do his own work.
Yes.
No. I'm taking him. I want him to see my face.
Yeah, I love how the there's an assistant to Bane somewhere who's like the showing up in prison to tell Bruce Wayne that then he has your permission to die. That could have been an email. It's like, I will see you suffer. Then you have my permission to die. And Bruce Wayne's just like, that could have been an email. You didn't need to show up for that.
No, no, no. He could have texted me. Maybe he just likes flying.
Yeah.
He needs the break. It's the only time he gets to sit down and read a book is when he's in the air. You know? That's his only time to relax.
Just some Muzak playing. Like, it's just... It's just like Bruce Wayne hog-tied as Batman. Like, his mask is off. He's, like, gagged. He's just laying on the thing. And, like, Bane's just got his feet up. And like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just drinking a cocktail. I don't even know how you drink with that mask, actually. I kept thinking, I'm like, because he's like, if you take it off, it really hurts. And I was like, how do you eat?
I assume there's some sort of like straw mechanism in there.
Oh, he's just got to smoothie it the whole time.
Oh, no. I mean, a body like that, you don't get by eating solids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think with a body like that, you also need to be eating steak. Yeah, like, he's just blending steaks.
Oh, for sure. 100%. It's Bane is the grossest,
steak smoothie.
Yeah. I slight detour here.
Yes, absolutely.
I am just going to quickly proclaim Bane the hero of COVID that we all need.
What?
Wears a mask, covers his nose and his chin. Bam.
Is that it? End of list?
No.
Oh, okay.
Why does he wear the mask? It's not for himself, it's for others. So you take it off, it'll hurt. It'll hurt you. Wears his mask for other people. Very much against large public gatherings. Bane, hero of COVID. That's all we need.
Oh my God, that's so bad. Yeah, I find watching this movie, I was like, right, Bane's pretty bad though. He's a hard villain to defend. Like, you get, like, he is correct in, like, when he's talking about, like, power structures and, like, we need to shake things up. But, like, my leap was always, like, but why does, like, blowing up a couple million people, why is that going to...
Yeah, like, I would say that as he is in the movie, they're just, like, a little too dedicated to Daddy's plan of, like, destroy Gotham City for the League of Shadows.
Like, it just, I felt like they never dove in enough as to why that would be...
Well, and that would be my defense of Bane, which is that... A lot of the things that he says are legit, and I think he would be a much scarier villain and a much more effective villain if he believed it and wasn't just saying that in order to destroy people. Here's my pitch to you. Okay. This to me sort of fixes Bane as a villain in this movie, which is like, yes, it's very fun to watch Batman run around with a bomb. We've known that since the 60s Batman.
Batman with a bomb.
Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb and he flies out. But I think what you do is you go, the bomb doesn't matter. What my plot is I'm going to take advantage of all these holes and all these things in Gotham society. And it's not going to be me that destroys the city. It's going to be the citizens themselves. Gotham is going to tear itself apart.
Well, right, but that's kind of like the Joker, right?
It is a little bit.
It's
but
like
just
you put
like,
it in their hands, and it's like, as long as things are still going according to plan, it's fine. If not, it's chaos.
No, but
then
I
you've
think,
got the two boats.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right.
I would say more specifically, the two boat scene is kind of where it's like, oh, they're going to destroy themselves.
Right, but I think Bane is going to be like, is more institutionalized. So like what he says is like, one, I think when he rips off the stock market, it's to kind of screw over Bruce Wayne. I think he should have been uncovering to the people some sort of greater financial scam, which was legal.
Ah, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and he goes, look at this. He's like, look at your police officers putting all these people in jail. Break them free. Look at the police force that is brutalizing you and stuff like that. Like, we're going to make them prisoners. And then he's inspiring the city to tear itself down.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to the Joker who wants to literally blow things up. Because nothing to me is scarier than the guy who can break Batman's back, but is playing the smart game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
where it's
absolutely.
Like Bane is quite smart and he goes, I don't need the bomb to do this. The city will do it to itself. Because the rich are rich, mm-hmm. and they stand on the shoulders of the poor. There's these power structures. There's all these corrupt police officers, and not even corrupt now, but just like it's turned into a police state. And you go, if this is what you make people live in, they will destroy themselves. They will tear the city down, and that's how I will accomplish what I need to accomplish. And what can you do? Like, Batman can fly a bomb out over the river, but it's a big thing for Bruce Wayne to learn that there are structural problems with the city that Batman can't solve.
Oh, yeah, but also a lot of which Bruce Wayne could solve with the snap of his finger.
Yeah.
And it's so, and that's what I find has really switched me on Batman is just that, and I know we talk about it all the time, but this concept of like, you literally, like, and it, okay, no, I'm not going to get into the new movie. There's no point. Okay.
Well, we might cover that later.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into the new one, but that was also, like, a thing with Batman. Anyway, the point being is that Bruce Wayne is always kind of, in my mind, depicted as this guy that kind of goes, well, I want to run around the streets at night. And
yeah.
Nothing I do during the day matters. And it's like, actually, the stuff you do during the day matters way fucking more.
And again, there's little nuggets of that in this movie because they go like, why isn't the orphanage funded anymore?
Oh, dude, yeah.
Why is my company going bankrupt? Why is like all these things? Alfred even says to him in this movie, they do not need your body anymore. You do not need to give them their body. Mm-hmm. They need your connections and they need your resources. He says that to him point blank. And I'm just like...
And Batman's always like, but my dead parents,
my
though.
Dead parents.
My parents, my they're parents. Dead. It's like, yeah, and so are all those orphans.
Right, and that's like the elements are there, but it's not connected together. You know, like he like
never gets there.
He never gets there, and that should have been his point where he goes, oh, Selina Kyle has to steal to feed herself and her community. Orphans are going poor.
And
it's like
showing up dead in sewers because that's where the work is now, Mr. Wayne.
Bane might have a point about exploiting, like, Bane is exploiting this to tear the city apart. And I think that's also something that, like, his few years out now, Bane's kind of the burn it down vote,
which wasn't at the time.
Like, this came out very much during the Occupy Wall Street thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you can sense things like that. But it's like Bane is the guy he's the literal strong man. Who people turn to when there's huge inequality. You know what I mean?
Like I love any actor that just looks at Tom Hardy and is like, you're huge. It makes me laugh every time.
Why?
Well, because he's a short man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and he is big. Like, I'm not trying to knock his body or anything like that. He's slamming. Good for you, Tom Hardy. You're a smoke show. Good for you. But he's a short man.
So every time everybody's
like, you're huge. It just makes me giggle a little bit. Okay? I think it's just fun.
And there is another problem in this movie. Not problem,
no.
Aspect of it where you're just like, you're not quite big enough, Bane. Like, yeah, Bane, yeah, like Bane in the comics is like towering 8 feet tall, like picks Batman up in two hands. And obviously they can't have that for the thing. But like when he lifts Batman up over his head, you're like, could you? Like,
yeah, exactly. Like, but I picture more of like a I can't remember the actor's name, like Kingpin.
Oh, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's a.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I don't know who you'd really want for. Yeah. I don't think there is anyone that big. Maybe Batista or something like that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Either way, like not a modern problem.
A modern rock.
Yeah. Like it's truly not a problem. Just like sometimes it gives me the giggles a little bit.
Well, and it's a very iconic version of Bane now. You know what I mean? Like you look at the original Bane with the luchador mask and the Spanish accent in Dark. I actually think we did a bonus episode on one of our first ones. And he's like, "Beg for mercy, scream my name." Like, and you're just like, "Oh, that's Bane," and he's got things. And now this is like the opposite mask. Like he's got the opposite parts of his face covered. He's got this wild accent. That has become the Bane voice, by the way.
It really. Who do you think he was stuck in the hole with? Because he was born there. Is that the accent of the hole?
That must be a hole accent. Yeah, you know.
They all come out like that. That'd be great.
I was mainly born in darkness. By the way, that's the voice that we use for my cat all the time now.
Oh, what?
Like when we're, you know, when you like have a cat and like the cat has to talk to you to express, but you vocalize it, we just go like, "Violence! I crave violence, mother! Like, feed me!" It makes for a fun time.
Oh my god!
So slight again side thing here because I promised I was going to talk about it. One thing that really bothered me in this movie. And I need to get this off my chest, is the Batwing. Okay, the flying thing, you know what I mean? Like his hovercraft. Yeah. I think they call it the Bat in this. It should be the Batwing. Anyway, and they say everything works except for the autopilot. They could never get the autopilot to work. And that's like why that's why Batman dies, because he's got to fly it out there. And then we discover, the autopilot was fixed. Okay, here's my problem with that. The way that that machine is designed, the autopilot has to work from the get-go. Has to. Absolutely has to. Because that has two blades counter-rotating on the bottom. Okay?
Okay.
Pushing air up, holding it. I'm not even going to get into whether that's possible. But that scenario is like trying to balance a pencil on your finger. Like straight up and down. You know what I mean? Like you've got to constantly be moving your finger to keep it underneath.
Mm-hmm.
So there would have to, in order for that thing to fly, there would have to be so much computer software sensing how it's balancing and counteracting that at any minute, because it's inherently unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So for that thing to fly, you absolutely need autopilot to be working from the get-go.
Oh man. Sometimes I'm honestly just so glad to be just like unaware of these things. You know what I mean? Like sometimes I'm just like, oh, it's just nice I don't know this.
No, you're right. That's a fair take.
No, I just mean like sometimes it's nice where I'm like, oh man, because that would have bothered me if I had known. You know what I mean? But like I just don't have that part of my brain on.
Yeah. It's like you need computer assisted flying for that.
Anything that's like tech or anything like that, I'm like, I buy in. I just buy in right away.
That's true. It's a Batman movie. I shouldn't care, but I do.
You know what I mean? These wheels are rotating in ways and things. I just, you got to shut that part off. Because you're going to go down a hole real quick.
Yeah.
I am really glad that you brought up the machines though. Because like we have to dive into how I believe like morally wrong it is to even build these things. Because like every time they talk about, and it's so funny because they're like, well, this is, anytime they're showing like a tank or something, they're like, this is for defense.
Sure.
And I've never looked at a tank and thought anything other than offense.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're always like, this is, every time they're talking about military budgets and stuff like that, they're like, it's our defense budget. I was like, so you use them a lot on your own land then, huh? Is that where you're using these things? is just at home or like what's you know what I mean? Like there's just that sense of it, and like just having those things where they're like, okay, this is what we're doing on the side and nobody knows about this because it'll fall into the wrong hands. And it's like, well, why do you think your hands are the right hands? Like, yeah, these guys always think their hands are the right hands. And I'm like, no, this guy's like a cowboy billionaire. I don't want a cowboy billionaire having the coats. Okay, you know what I mean?
Like, legit, yeah.
I think that's a very fair thing to think. And also, once you build it, it's like, yeah, well, it can be used against you immediately. It's like when people say, like, if you carry a weapon on you, get ready for it to be used against you.
Yes.
Okay, like that's always a thing. Okay, you increase your chances substantially by having a weapon on you. And yep. They just have floors of weapons. And they're like, this is probably fine. Nobody knows about this. It's probably fine. Because we're smarter than everyone else.
Smarter and more moral. And yeah. I need... there is something really fucked up about the logic of, like, even just the Batmobile, right? Where they go, like... I need a tank because I'm going out and beating street thugs. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah. It's like, that seems a little much. I think you could maybe take the bus. You know, I will say Batman maybe shouldn't take the bus.
Would love that scene though. I want that scene. He doesn't have exact change. He's struggling. The bus driver starts screaming at him.
Just, how much is it? $3.25.
$3.25. Yeah. I only have hundreds on me, of course, because I'm Bruce Wayne. He's like the Lucille of Gotham. Like, well, how much could that possibly cost? 10,000?
Yeah. He's taking his wallet out to get like change and like his ID's falling out, like Bruce Wayne, all the rest.
Yes, absolutely. Like I just think it's morally wrong of him to even have all these things. And they're like, oh no, Bane's got a bomb. Your bomb?
Your bomb.
One you built?
Well, and here's the thing. In the movie, they go like, he built this fusion reactor to solve the world's energy crisis. This doctor says, hey, by the way, I did some research and turns out you could turn this into a bomb if you wanted to. And Bruce Wayne goes, well, then shut it down. I can't do this. Literally dooming the world to global warming because something could be turned into a bomb. I got news for you. There's nothing that's going to solve the energy crisis that can't be used as a weapon. You know what I mean? Like the second that you have lots of energy, if you unleash that energy in the wrong ways, it's going to be damaging, right?
Yeah.
A fire can burn down a village.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean we stop using fire just because it's, you know, because we can cook and it heats and all the rest, right? It's just the scale of that problem gets bigger. I think he should have not shut that reactor down. I think he should have published it, and you can control who has access to the plans. You can control what government regulations are there and who inspects it. And then you've just solved the energy crisis. Congratulations. You've helped more people than are ever going to be hurt by this. The fact that it can be turned into a bomb. Well, guess what? Gasoline can be turned into a bomb. Almost everything can be used as a weapon in some sort. Large amounts of electricity. You can electrocute an elephant. They did that once.
Or you could be electrocuted into hearing women's thoughts. More on that next week.
More on that next week. The mysterious electricity. Yeah.
Can we talk about... Okay, I'm just curious as to your feeling of Robin. How do you feel about that character? What do you feel?
I really would have liked to have seen a Nightwing follow up to this, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Nightwing follow up to this movie. I thought that would have been kind of cool. Batman's gone, following his footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
I always like seeing Joseph Gordon-Levitt in things. You know,
I do too. I just felt like he wasn't. I felt like it was his character was all, this is going to pay off in the next movie. And I don't give a fuck about the next movie. You know what I mean?
Because we know there's not going to be one.
Yes. Like, why haven't I seen this guy like physically do something pretty cool? You know what I mean? Like, I needed a little more. I needed more like physicality for, you know what I mean? Like more ramp up of like, this guy's going to start kicking some ass soon.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He kind of felt like more of just like, well, you know, things are corrupt and this Harvey Dent thing is wrong. And like, he was just kind of more of like a voice that was kind of like, well, I know your secrets and this and that or whatever. But he didn't actually like, in my mind, like do a lot physically. He does, but he doesn't.
No, I 100% agree. Like, yeah. What, I think almost what you need, if you want him in the movie, you have some scene where he's like dressed in a red, tracksuit. And he's doing like gymnastics and like Aikido.
Exactly. To, I need like, to see blow more off physicality. Some
steam.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just in the gym blowing off some steam. And then you have him show up in like a red bandana or something like that later and help Batman fight some guys.
He's going
and you
from
go,
a detective.
Oh, that's that guy. That's that guy. That's what they're doing there. But you also don't need him. As I said, like it's kind of fun that he's like the orphan who figured out that Bruce Wayne is Batman immediately and kind of spurs him into action again. But like Alfred was kind of saying the same things. Like you need to be more present.
That's what my problem
was. You need to, yes. And like going back to it, it's like Bruce Wayne's sort of motivation to get back into Batman is that like Bane's a dangerous guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been, the city might always need a Batman, but just not in the capacity that I think that they're going to need him. Do I need to fight Bane? Yes, because Bane is a guy who's going to exploit these tiers of society and these like these cracks in society in a way that's bad, and I'm in a position where I can fix it. And like the other thing is like, there is an element of Bruce Wayne being brought to nothing. Like he loses his money, he loses control of the company, he gets thrown and his back gets broken and all the rest. But he doesn't go to nothing in the way that he needs to learn what he needs to learn. Like basically he learns some kind of bullshit lesson about like perseverance and like faith and like hope and the leap of faith or whatever.
Yeah.
But he should have been like, right, I've got to live amongst the poor and the destitute and the people with no hope. And I see how these structures affect things. And that's why Batman needs to come back.
Yeah.
And he didn't have that.
No. No. And I just felt like Robin was like, like you said, he did need to be there.
Yeah.
And if he is there, you got to make him, you know what I mean? Get him to do something.
Yeah.
Let's make him cool.
And a cool thing to do would have been, Batman's gone for months. No one knows what happened. This Blake knows who Batman was. Suddenly someone's substituting in.
Yeah. He's not as good, but he's in some stuff. He's got some equipment.
And it's just, and then Batman returns Batman gets back to Gotham. And then there's like a three person team up with Catwoman, whatever, you know, like it works.
We should, I don't have a lot to say on this guy, cause I do think he's just fundamentally evil, but, Stryver has, he has chef's kiss villain face. Chef's kiss.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
He looks like the manager you've always wanted to punch. Yep. You know what I mean? He looks like a guy that gets a hard dick for power, however small or large it is.
Yep.
And he just has one of those. I got to say, perfect casting team. Perfect,
love it.
Perfect casting. Spectacular performance. I hated him every moment.
Yeah.
And that's what he's there for. It's perfect.
Love him. He played a villain in season 3 of The Expanse as well.
Oh.
Shows up and you're just like, resting villain face.
He does.
Yep.
He has such resting villain face.
And
it's
so
crazy.
And so does Ben Mendelsohn, who I love as an actor.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Daggett in this.
Yeah.
And so the two of them working together, you're like, oh, you're the worst. I love it. Sleazy businessman with a,
When Bane kills it, I feel nothing.
Yeah.
I was like, good.
Well, that's the other thing about Bane, right? Is like there are these other villains where he goes, these are the true villains.
Yes.
These are the people who would, you know, pay revolutionaries to give them mining rights in, I forget the country that it was, but like, you know, war-torn countries and like we take over and you give us the mining rights for, you know, like, and like he's going through and being like, cast out these people who oppress you.
Yes.
Look, I'm doing it for you. Mm-hmm. Look at the legal stuff that these people are up to and tell me if that is right and tear down this city.
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of, can we talk about how fucking terrible these cops are?
Oh, yeah.
They're the worst. They're the fucking worst. And I just want to bring the one that really got me, the one that really, really got me, and it's not even that they were chasing after Batman, none of this, okay? Because, you know, we got to get the guy that got Harvey Dent, that's a better story, or whatever it is. The thing that really, really got me is they were trying to get when they when Bain takes over like the stock exchange market there. Is that what I don't know what I'm saying?
Yeah, stock exchange.
They're outside. And they say, I got to find the exact quote because it is like, I was like, no, I'm not risking my men for your money. That's what he says. That's what this guy says. He's like, I'm not putting my men in there. I'm not risking my men for your money. And it's like, there are literally hundreds of people in that building being held hostage.
Yeah.
What do you, who cares about, nobody should care about money right now. What are you talking about? Oh, you're just here for your money. No, what about all the screaming people? Like, what the fuck? Anyway, I was just like, also, well, you know, that just, oh, the cops in here are so bad.
Yeah, literally.
Or just cops. Let's just say that. Cops are so bad.
Let's get all of them in a sewer. And that's another problem with this movie is if you take my slant at it, where you go like, Batman has to learn to fight against the institutions that are causing this suffering,
yep,
then the cops in this movie don't get their like fun hurrah redemption moment.
No, because they really do they have that moment.
And they really are, in this universe, even as it's presented here, a huge part of the problem.
Absolutely. They have that whole Harvey Dent thing where they're keeping, what do they call it, the Harvey Dent Act?
Yes.
Or something like that, where they're just like, oh no, like none of these guys can get parole. Like they're just locked up,
no habeas corpus.
And it's at our discretion.
And that needed to be a bigger problem in the movie.
Yes,
the
it
more
did.
Had to
yes,
be made of did. Consequence of that, because that is absolutely something that Bane can exploit. Like the lesson should be, it's like, if you structure your society like this, where you're imprisoning everybody and no one gets any second chances, and we're fighting the poor people, and we're imprisoning everyone without fixing the systemic issues that are causing this,
yes,
men like Bane will come, mm-hmm, and they will take advantage of it.
Yes.
And basically what we were at the start of this movie is a police state. And Batman should have been like, Oops. I need to, like the pendulum swings both ways. You know what I mean? Like it goes from cops not doing anything because they're getting bribes from gangsters and all the rest, and people getting mowed down by guns in theater parking lots. Mm-hmm. And it swings back to, we're arresting Selina Kyle for stealing bread. You know, and yes, we're harassing homeless people on the street, and we're imprisoning people who have nowhere else to go. And like,
and I think this movie's kind of taking the stance of like, because we see when these prisoners are released, it's like, well, look at all these gun carrying heathens, these hooligans. But it's like, no, there's definitely like, that's just one presentation of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many people are in there on pot charges? Like,
exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, yeah. Bullshit drug charges and all the rest.
Just things like the wrong person pulled you over and now you're done. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Okay. So like, yes, they really take that. And then they have this huge moment where all the cops are released and it's like, there's this clash happening and it's supposed to be this really heroic moment, but I was like, I don't believe in any of these people.
No, and you know who they're fighting against in that? Because Bane doesn't have that many guys. Mm-hmm. Bane has people who looked at him and said, this guy's making some good points. He took all of Bruce Wayne's money away. We don't even know that Bruce Wayne is Batman, but we know that Bruce Wayne has sat in his mansion doing fucking dick all with his billions of dollars for years and years and years.
Yeah.
While the police crack down on, you know, the poor, the people with mental health issues, the people, you know, mm-hmm, people out on the streets, like.
But he's sad.
He's sad.
He's sad.
He's sad.
he's sad, though. And the thing that bothers me is, is this man absolutely allowed to be sad? Yes. Yes, you are. You're allowed to have a mental breakdown. Okay. You're allowed to do all of these things. Okay. These are all within the realm of possibility. Delegation. You must start delegating all your shit. Yeah. Okay. If you're tanking your company, you need to start passing all of these things off to other people. Yeah. I cannot stand this idea of like, well, what was I supposed to do? The love of my life is gone. And it's like, yeah, you call somebody. You say, hey, man, can't do this right now.
Can I just nope out for a bit?
Yeah.
Mr. Fox, please. Yeah,
and Mr. Fox is like, oh, you always come to me with a special request. Oh, not this time? Well, let me show you all the toys I cooked up anyway. Woo!
I get off on this.
Yeah, it's just too much. I mean, like, Yeah. As far as Bane goes, I don't think Bane's very defensive. Like, you can... He's one of those villains where you're like, you have some really nice nuggets here where you're like, yes, that's correct. But you don't blow up a full city.
That's what I said. Like,
you don't, like, we're way too, it's like anarchy to the extreme. There's no, your cause even becomes clouded as soon as you start introducing all of these measures.
Yeah.
Although, again, once again, and I know I said it off the top, that fucking arena, like that stadium scene is fucking awesome. It's awesome.
It looks so cool. Yeah.
I watch it solo. I'll watch it solo. Just that one quick shot.
And there's some cool fucking scenes in this movie.
Yeah, there are. There really are some cool scenes in this movie. And that's why I don't mind going back to watch it. Because I'm like, there's still like a lot of really good meat here. Even if I agree with you on a lot of your stances of like,
we need to connect those dots.
Yeah, it didn't connect the dots enough. And it wasn't, Batman never learns the lesson he needs to learn. But I am always, 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 and even if I wasn't doing this podcast, I am always team Catwoman.
Yeah.
Okay? I will never, ever be sad that a rich person lost some of their riches. I just can't be. It's just not a thing. She even says at one point...
Oh, she's got a great speech.
When they're dancing?
Yeah.
I love that speech. I can't... Oh, man. I wrote it down. If I can find it real quick... But she basically goes on this little speech about how she shouldn't be judged for taking from people that wouldn't even notice that she's taking these things instead of being rich and standing on the shoulders of the poor.
Yeah, I've got it. I actually have it here.
Okay,
it's like, perfect. Is this one that you think all this can last? There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
the storm coming. Yeah, it's like when it hits you, you wonder how you could have lived so large and left so little for the rest of us.
Yes, it's like perfect. It's a part of that, yes.
And I just wish the rest of the movie followed through on it because it's not about Bruce Wayne being rich. It's about like, well, I want to be Batman again.
Yeah. Yes, and it's so a man with his toys.
Yeah.
He literally has a man cave. He literally...
It's a bat cave, Rebecca. It's a bat cave.
It's a man cave.
I'm a man and I have a bat cave.
It's a man cave. I swear to God, there's one switch he flips and it's just like a fluorescent woman holding beers. You don't see that part, but it's there.
It's there.
It's there. Okay. It's
Alfred won't let me hang this in the main mansion.
100%. He's got a dartboard somewhere. There's a whole thing going on there. Okay. Cause this is just a guy that just wants to play.
Yeah.
He could solve so many issues and he fucking doesn't. I will say this about Bane. He has just the henchman with loyalty.
You got to admire a villain who can inspire that kind of loyalty, too.
They got some confidence in that man.
I'm not normally a fan of, like, the villain who kills the henchmen for insolence. You know, like, that's not how you run a productive organization. But
it isn't.
They know how they fucked up. And they know, you know, like, it's just like a...
They know how they fucked up. That's dark.
Like, literally brought the chief of police or the police commissioner down into the sewers to see his face. And you go like, man, like, I accept mistakes here in this organization. Like, the League of Shadows is not an unforgiving organization. But we're going to have a group meeting about when it's appropriate to bring law enforcement officers to our illegal thing, you know?
To our illegal hideout, our man cave.
And going back to Catwoman, I do love Anne Hathaway as this. I think she plays it pretty well.
I think she smashes it.
There is a lot of great scenes where she switches from like the innocent to like conniving, like right at the beginning when she's stealing the pearls and like she knows that she's caught, turns it off and is just like, well... See you later. And like jumps out a window. Or when the senator...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know it was uncrackable.
Yeah, someone should have told me. Love that. And then the other scene where she does it, she's in this like firefight with like the police and Bane's men where like she's kidnapped that senator. And then she's just like sit like a police, like they storm the place, and she's just down at the bar, like screaming her head off, like, oh my God, oh my God. And as soon as they leave, she drops it and just like boots.
Yeah.
And then like runs into another guy coming, and she's like, he's shot, he's bleeding inside. And then just like turns it on and off. Love that. I love her portrayal of like, this is a manipulative person. Like, she plays a role, mm-hmm. plays it well. That's how she gets into places. That's how she manipulates people. That's how she gets what she wants. Love it. I think it really came through in the performance.
Yeah, honestly, I'm hard-pressed to find a Catwoman I don't like.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? Because even, like, you look at, like, the movie Catwoman, like, Berry. Halle Berry. That's not a good movie, but I like Halle Berry. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I will say I haven't seen that movie, but yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's not a good movie. You don't need to. Yeah. There's I no need. But like
the new one.
Who does it? Yeah, like Halle Berry.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Of course. I would say maybe Michelle Pfeiffer is my favorite.
Eartha Kitt and like all them, even just so even back good. In the 60s. Yeah.
Hard to pick one I don't like, but although like I've said, Catwoman at the base is one of my, like, I'm like, I don't even think she's not even, because like she isn't like, she's like one of those like
ambivalent gray area. Are you a villain? Are you not? Are you
which obviously Catwoman, is where I love to splash around it, you know what I mean?
I think one of my favorite, most recent favorite portrayals of a Catwoman is in the Harley Quinn series, animated series, where she's just this character. Like, it's such an have you seen season 2?
So, but I can't. I am.
So this doesn't really spoil much, but it's okay. Like Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy are kind of the two.
Yeah, they're buddies.
I love that, by the way. Possibly romantically involved. Mm-hmm. And like Catwoman is just this like friend who like is always bragging. Like she's the envious friend. Mm-hmm. Like they're the person that they're always like, oh, Catwoman's here because she's just going to talk about herself. And like it works so well. Like she's going to talk about how great she is and how like all the rest. She's just like, we don't need that here. It's really a fun version of Catwoman, I must say. But I agree 100%. Love her in the new one. Great.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Yeah. Do you have anything?
No, I mean, believe it or not, for 2-hour, 40-minute movie, that's, I have less to say than I would have thought. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. Sometimes when I really enjoy the movie, it starts becoming hard to make notes because get like swept up in it a bit. And I'm like, oh, right, I'm supposed to be writing things down and like having thoughts and shit. But I just, this is one of those movies where I feel like, yes, I would say it's too long, but it's still, it doesn't feel like the longest movie to me.
No. Yeah, and you're
it hops along enough.
What scene do I want cut? It's like probably the prison stuff, but then that's also kind of cool. I think like reorganizing it.
Yeah.
A couple more passes on the script to get down to like a tight 2-hour movie.
Oh, love a tight 2 hours. Yep, absolutely. Yep. We need it. Well, guys, I think it's time for our definitive rankings of who are you doing?
Yeah, so I've got Bane.
Me too.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Bane. I've got the things I don't give a fuck if you steal scale.
Love it.
So from rich people's jewelry to just a yacht, any yacht. I don't care if a yacht gets stolen. Fuck you for owning a yacht. I'm going to give Bane a maple syrup heist. Okay. Because yes, you're affecting rich people, but you're also affecting the poor. Okay. And we need to be looking out for everybody right now. If that's the message.
Rebecca needs her maple syrup for her coffee. Everybody.
Baby girl needs her maple syrup.
The way they think that shit grows on trees. I'm also doing Bane. So in honor of The Dark Knight Rises, I did the Rises scale.
Okay.
Things that rise.
Oh, God.
So on a scale from bread to the sun, I'm giving Bane hot air.
Oh, okay. That's actually kind of nice. Why was my first thought a dick?
Because...
Because I'm me.
Because you're you. It's like, so I'm giving Bane some hot air. So sure he's full of it, but he makes some pretty good points. Okay, if he had followed through on what he had actually said, he would have been way more defensible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, we're all here for Catwoman.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, guys, as usual, before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, there's a couple of ways you can help out the podcast. If you guys want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on Twitter at VWR Podcast. We post most of our things on Twitter. That's pretty much where you want to hit us up. But if you're a Facebook person, you just have to look us up. It's The Villain Was Right. You can find us, like our page. We've got some fun people commenting on there. You can get into a part of the discussion. If you want to get right at us, villainwasright@gmail.com, and you can just slide right into our email. Tell us a long story. Why not? And if you guys have a couple of bucks.
Yeah, absolutely. You can hit us up on Patreon, patreon.com/thevillainwasright. Patreon is a monthly subscription service where you get to support the artists that you like. And hopefully that is us. And in exchange for that, you get some awesome benefits. And one thing that we've just added, this is brand new, our $1 tier, our basement bottom... basement bottom lowest of the low tiers, $1 a month. That gets you ad-free episodes. So if you're tired of hearing some ads, you can support us there and you'll get ad-free episodes as well. And then at our top tier, you get $7 a month. You get 2 bonus episodes every month. This month, it will be... Clue for me. It's a Craig pick and a Rebecca pick. My pick is Clue. So if you want to check that out, you can. And we've got over 70 bonus episodes that you also gain access to, plus other benefits like voting on our audience choice episodes and early release of episodes. Get them on a Tuesday rather than a Thursday. And if you don't have any money to support the podcast, thank you so much for listening. And this version of it will always be free. Thank you for telling your friends about it. Thank you for rating and reviewing us on iTunes or whatever. We really appreciate it. You guys are the best. And now it is time for our heroes and villains of the week. What do you got, Rebecca?
Oh, just something that I just thought was so... This guy is absolutely my hero. I just thought it was so light. It's just such a light little thing. But I travel a lot. I stay in hotels a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we get accustomed to certain things. Like, hotels kind of have, like, standards. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things that will always happen here, right? So I was in Mattawa this weekend, which is just, like, outside of North Bay. And loved the lovely little town, just super, super nice people. We show up, we're at like 11 p.m. Okay, they know we're coming, but like we're coming from North Bay at another show. This is where we're landing. We're at this little Voyager hotel. Okay, very cute, very nice man. Great. So we arrive and he goes, oh, like, and just so you know, like he's checking us in and everything. And he goes, oh, and just so you know, you get a complimentary breakfast. And I was like, that's sick. Cause that's not everywhere. Right.
Yeah.
Like the last hotel I was in before this one, this guy gave me this like literal 5-minute pitch about how amazing their buffet is. And he's like, and then he's like, and it's only like $22.95. And I was like, won't see you tomorrow. Don't you worry. I'm not going to be there. What? Anyway, so this guy goes, oh, so we have complimentary breakfast, just so you know. I was like, that is amazing. Thank you so much. And he goes, okay, just give me a second, right? And he goes into the other room, and I think he's grabbing like a coop or something. You know what I mean? He's grabbing a little coupon for the morning or like some selection or something. No. This man comes out with 2 bags of breakfast. It's 11 p.m. He's got 2 bags of breakfast and he just puts them down.
What is in these bags?
Oh my God. Okay. So it was, and it, like, it was a fine, but it was like, it was a banana and a yogurt and an orange juice and a egg McMuffin kind of thing that he's like, you just heat it up in the microwave. You can have it whenever you want that way. And that was it. And it was just me and the other performer on the show just dead eyeing each other, going, don't laugh. Don't laugh at this. Oh my God, we were texting each other right away, like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, but Tuesday, I've never had that happen, and it was very strange, okay? But everything closes in Mattawa at like 8 o'clock, and I was hungry. So I was like, this is actually perfect. I had a banana and a yogurt at 11 p.m. because I was like, fuck yeah, I don't have any food on me. That guy's my hero because he slammed it down like this is some normal shit.
I kind of appreciate that. And it's in a bag, so you can just like take it and on the go.
And then it just doesn't matter when you wake up the next day or like you don't have to catch some certain hour or something. And it's just never happened to me before, but I just thought, you know what? There is something to this. There's something very good about this, and I like it. So that gentleman is my hero of the week. Spectacular.
I mean, at breakfast is my hero generally. So yeah, I am. If I don't have to leave the hotel room to get breakfast, yep. Fantastic. I want to stay at this hotel. Mine is actually also a road story. So I was. I have a villain this week, basically I was up in Ottawa and. I think this was like Saturday. So we'd been going pretty hard.
Ottawa will get you like that. Every time I go to Ottawa, I get slammed. It's exactly. So bad. I get so hammered.
Like, we're up late. We're having a few too many drinks. We're having a fun time. And the club owner calls us on, it's like 10 a.m. on Saturday. And he's like, hey, do you guys want to go for lunch? You and the other comic staying there. Do you want to go for lunch? My treat? And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. We'll go. So we head out around like 1 o'clock or whatever. And he's like, where do you want to go? And he's like, well, there's this like Japanese place down the street from where you're at. So we go to this Japanese place. And like, I'm feeling like just a little not great at this point still. Not in the mood for sushi at all. You know, like they got some sushi, looked real nice, but I'm just like, I can't. So.
Oh, not hungover.
No. So I got a miso soup, not a miso, sorry, ramen. Ramen, like, and black garlic. It was like, and hot day, but like, I have it and I'm like immediately just like, oh, this is exactly what I need. Do you know when like when your body is like, yes, like give me that, give me the broth, give me the,
it's like,
like
when your lips hit water and you start chugging and something in your brain has taken out. You can't even stop.
It was exactly that. I was like, oh, I picked perfectly. This is amazing. And huge portion sizes, right? So I get about halfway through this and I am just like full, but it's like deeply satisfying. And we go and we leave the restaurant and I go to the other comic, Nick, and I go, man, that put me like back to like a full 10. I feel so good right now. That's exactly what I need. And the club owner goes, hey guys, actually I just got a new car. I got a new electric Mustang. And he's like, this thing is wild. Do you guys want to go for a ride in it? And we're like, yeah, sure. Why not? So, Nick hops in the front seat and I hop in the back and, this guy starts driving us around just in and around the area. And have you ridden an electric car before?
Yeah.
The acceleration is absolutely insane on these things. Like it is like, nuts. So he like accelerates down this one street like super fast. And we're like, whoa, this is so cool. And like, you know, having fun. And then I realize a new car, so he hasn't quite figured out all the bells and whistles. The air conditioning isn't on in the back seat. And it's a black car. And it's like 30 degrees out, even though it's May. So I start cooking and I start sweating. And he just keeps accelerating and going and going.
Oh.
And I've got a belly full of hot soup. Oh. And I am just sitting there going like, I can't take this anymore. So finally I'm like, can we roll down like a window please or something? I get out of the car. I didn't lose it in the car. Thank fucking Christ. We get out and Nick goes, oh my God, you are a different color right now. Like I am white as a ghost. And that ruined me for the rest of the day. I had to take a lap around the block just to like catch my breath. Went to bed immediately after I got back. I was like, I feel like garbage, but like this will settle in a bit. I slept for like 2 hours, woke up. My stomach is still churning. Like it somehow put a spin on the soup and the soup is just continuously going in my stomach. I wake up and I'm like, I don't think I can do like a show tonight feeling like this. I need to do something about this. I like drove to a Shopper's Drug Mart and like bought a bottle of Pepto and just like downed it. And like immediately felt, I was just like, that's what I needed. Oh my God. But it just absolutely, it felt like I'd been put in a paint shaker with a hot belly of soup. It just destroyed me for a day. That's my villain of the week. Motion sickness, I guess. Ramen and electric cars do not mix.
I get that all the time. I can't be on a... Anyway. well, guys, this is us. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reeds on any platform of your choosing.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Craig Fay Comedy on Facebook, Twitter, craigfay.com for show dates. And as well, if you're in the Toronto area and you're listening to this, I am launching a brand new live show at Comedy Bar with a former guest of the podcast, Hisham Khaledi.
I love Hisham!
Yeah, so we're doing a show called Encore Comedy, where you're going to see three amazing A-list comics, and you get to vote on who you want to see come back and do an encore that very night. Super fun, super interactive. 7 p.m., June 25th at Comedy Bar in Toronto. Check out my website, check out comedybar.ca for tickets and details.
Amazing. And guys, look forward to our episode next week. We're covering What Women Want. Get ready to hear some dunks on Mel Gibson. My God. I'm so excited to do this episode, guys. And this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you that Batman is a part of the 1%.
1%. The Villain Was Right is produced by Andrew Ivamy as part of the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as webcomics, articles, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.